Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, there's something about the mornings this time of year. I like to get up before the sun, and I like to go outside when it's nice out and just enjoy the early morning moments. It's a refreshing time for me, and it had all the hallmarks of fall in the Midwest today, all the feelings, the scents, the smell in the air, the grain getting ready. It all smelled like autumn. I don't know, for me, that's like a new settling and a new beginning. I know that in Scripture, in the Jewish culture, in our Bible, fall is really the season God declares new beginning. It's the season that everything resets. It's the season that God makes visitation on His people, that He physically looks into our lives with His eye, it says. He has a spiritual eye. He has a way of looking into our lives and seeing everything and looking ahead to what He wants for us and helping reconcile the two. I believe He's doing that in our midst right now. If you'll believe God with me, I believe that He redeems the time, and He causes us to not fall behind in any good thing, is what the Scripture says. So in this season, I want to take some time through September anyway to really lay out some things that Jesus said would enrich our lives, that Jesus described should be character traits in the church. You know, we are the church. We think of the building we gather in sometimes as the church. The building can't do anything without God coming into and working through the people who assemble there. So when we talk about the church, we're talking about all of us. There are things in the Scripture that He says we should do that are the works of the ministry, and they're not things that we have to carefully plan and study the Scripture to do. We need to look at the Scripture, but they're things that make sense. They're the things that help people. They're the things that come into somebody's life wherever they're lacking or broken and try to make a difference. I learned about the ministry earliest as a child, learning how and being taught in my family how to help other people that had a need. And constantly, people like that flooded into our home. In fact, we, as children, occasionally we'd get mom and dad's ear and say, is there any time left for us? Because they had three kids. And sometimes we felt like everything, all the time was for everybody else. Well, that's part of what Christian living looks like, is you become a person that God can insert into somebody else's life, short-term or long-term, to make a difference. And sometimes people pray for God to intervene, and we fail to recognize how He will intervene, how He gets in. He doesn't just come to speak a word with a still small voice. He comes through people who will hear the still small voice. Many times we're waiting to receive, and we've never been a part of the giving in ministry, and that is to be the person God can send, to be the person that will go into somebody else's life to make a difference, whether it's short-term or long-term. You will have all kinds of relationships in the body of Christ, and Jesus says you will become His friend if you will do this one thing, that is to insert yourself in somebody else's life for Him as you are being Him to make a difference. So often we pray for things that we're supposed to be doing and somehow thinking the angels are going to come, or I don't know, we think some miracle is going to happen and everybody's going to be okay. I'm going to tell you something about ministry work. Everybody is not okay, and everybody's supposed to be in on helping everybody else get okay. And that's a constant thing, because we're in a fallen world. There is an enemy going to come against anybody and everybody. And the only way we become strong is we become doers of God's Word. Not just hearers, we become doers. You know, I believe that spiritual exercise is in the doing. The programming is in the hearing, and somewhere we've got to choose to do. Now, when I look at the Scripture, the reward always comes from God when we become a doer. If we're a hearer only, we frustrate him. So today I'm going to point out some good things happening in the body. I'm going to talk about things like that to affirm things that are right. I'm a teacher that likes to point out what's right, to look for what pleases God in the Scripture, and focus on those things. I find out when we focus on what pleases God, in doing those things, we move away from things that displease God. There are a lot of preachers like to talk about the don'ts, the things that we're not supposed to do. I like to really point at the things we're supposed to do. When I see the biggest difference in the Old Covenant and New Covenant, the Old Testament had a list of don'ts that people tried to not do and failed at. The New Testament is a list of do's that we're supposed to do, yet people fail at. Because sometimes we are focusing on other things, focusing on just being busy, busy in life, and not recognizing Jesus is only as real in you as you allow him to live through you toward others. That's how you know how real he is. So much so that Jesus taught in what I'm sharing with you today, Jesus said, if you're going to serve people this way, he said he will make his joy full in us, and then our life will become filled with joy. Many times we want to have our life filled with joy, and we try to get it other ways, and they all expire, they all wear out, they all fade away. We have a moment of joy because we've engineered something that'll make us feel good or have a good time or get our mind off of problems or whatever, and we engineer that. The only way to get God's joy is Jesus' way, and he said you're going to do that by fulfilling God's word in somebody else's life. Being the person today, we're talking about contending with trouble. When I think about contending with trouble, it isn't my trouble. It's choosing to contend with somebody else's trouble. I've learned the best way to get myself help when I'm in trouble is to help somebody else in their trouble. It makes sense because Scripture says we're going to sow love, we're going to reap love. When you hear all the teaching on sowing and reaping, the predominance of that in the Scripture is about sowing God's love. What we need most is to be able to sow and reap his love. It changes everything. It changes how we value life. So we're going to have to be willing to contend with somebody else's challenge or trouble. Probably a lot of people today would like to skip over that part of Scripture, not necessarily at our church, but who wants to get involved in other people's stuff? Yet Jesus said it's the way that he will fulfill his joy. He'll give us his joy. And he said one other thing. If we want to be his friend, we will do this. When I think about that, I think of the other parts of Scripture where Jesus said there's coming an occasion where people will appear before him and they'll say, Jesus, we cast out devils and we did great things in your name. And he's going to say, get behind me, I never knew you. Well, he knows who his friends are. I want to make sure that we focus on what is it that pleases him most. Sometimes we think it's the bigger things in ministry that only the most spiritually learned can do. And I look at the Scripture and find it the opposite. The things that most please God are the things he asks us all to do. I'm glad of that. That means we can all be qualified for God's best. So I want to empower you today. My desire is to empower you to see how easy it is to be involved in ministry. It is inconvenient, yes, but it is easy too. Why? Jesus is all about helping you do it. That's what makes it easy. I was excited to see a growing number in Sunday school today because we're learning about soul winning. Why? We want you to see it can be easy. I used to make that so complicated and get so hyperventilating going out. And my pastor would take me out. That was what we did in the old days. He'd say, we're going door to door on Saturday and you will be there. And you were there. I mean, he didn't give you much option, or you had to be like home so sick that he was going to come pray for you later in the day to make sure you really were. That's how it was. And I would hyperventilate thinking, dear God, I'm not ready for this. And then I discovered it doesn't have to be so formal or so hard. It's a matter of looking for an opportunity to do something good. I'm going to tell you a secret. It's easier to do something than to say something. it's easier to take action, to provide something, to make a difference in a situation. Then what you have done keeps preaching long after you walk away. So today is just a little eye into how easy it is to do the work of the ministry. But we want to not only contend with trouble, we want to be involved in people's lives in a way that we can restore certainty. Right now in my personal life, there are a lot of things very overwhelming. You know, Lucinda and I have three parents that are in critical shape. And a number of other things happening within the family, a number of issues we have to deal with. And there are times, and what God's teaching me in this season is how life will be overwhelming at times, because we will face seasons and situations where there is undeniable loss. One of the sad things about aging is there is loss, unavoidable. I know that when people are young, they want to talk about living forever and everything always being wonderful, and I'm here to tell you I've crossed the line. I would like to live forever with Jesus, but in this life, there will be challenges and losses, and you learn that very much when you're helping your parents or grandparents go through life changes. It teaches compassion. It teaches how to get involved at the level where anybody is living. And your gospel of boldness right now, your personal gospel might be everything's fine and everything's wonderful in my life. Take a deep breath, because that will change in time. And in time, you're going to want somebody to be in the ministry side of things, that they are working with you to contend with whatever the trouble is and to help you restore certainty in your faith in God, a confidence in your faith in the body of Christ. We do that in different ways. When I was young, I had a lot of physical ability and strength and seemingly had more time on my hands. So I would many times get involved in projects and do hands-on work at the church or with missions or whatever I could do. Then I got a little older and became a little more learned in the scripture, and I found out that I could relate to how people felt in a lot of situations. And I stepped out of some of the physical and became more involved in the social and the emotional and the intellectual pursuits of people, and trying to help them understand the word and trying to help people understand how they could live their relationship with God. Then I learned God was calling me into what I call a spiritual ministry. You're three parts. You have a body, you have a soul, a mind, and an intellect, but you are a spirit. And I discovered, at least in my life, God's calling mainly was to get me to a place where I understood spiritual truth and my relationship with God was rich enough that I could pour out of that place in my life into people's lives, and God wanted more from me in that than any other part of my life. I then made it my aim for spiritual things to become my goal and for spiritual things to be, why? That's who He called me to be. You will find yourself in all three pieces of ministry. You might think today, well, you don't have a lot spiritual to offer. You'll have something. And somebody will make a draw on it. You may think, I'm not uber intellectual. I'm not either. But I found out sometimes I have something that's just, to me, it's like, this is common sense. But sometimes somebody doesn't get that piece. And you can give them something that's like a great gift. Other times, you just need somebody to roll up their sleeves and dig in and help you get something done. All three areas are an exceptional way to express God's love that is not normal in this world. It's a kind of intervention that Jesus put us here to do. If you're not intervening in somebody else's life, you're not really doing the work of the ministry. Jesus went around, Scripture says, doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was intervening in people's lives where something was wrong, something had fallen apart, somebody was hurting, and it didn't take long for people to recognize Jesus is somebody that can bring God to you. They didn't recognize He was God coming to them. They thought He was bringing God to them. We know He was God coming to them. But now He's living in us. You are God coming to people. And if you're not going to anybody, then we've got a problem. Because we're there to intervene. We are the person of Jesus. We are now God's intervention plan. And we're there to restore a confidence and hope in Him. Our life is to stir faith in other people. If you're not careful, you will represent you in doing the work of the ministry, and people will look to you to solve all their problems, to be their physical strength, their emotional support, and their spiritual parent. I'm here to warn you. You can't do that. You're not called to do that. You're not meant to be that. That's who God is to each of us. But you are here to intervene as a brother and sister in the Lord in everybody's life, particularly in the church. Today we're talking about ministry within the church. Did you know that almost all of it's supposed to happen through the people, by the people, for the people, and among the people? Pastor's supposed to lead, share with you how to do that, but that work happens. So we should be the most built-up place on the planet. This should be like, yeah, I see clinics now. I pay attention to what goes on in healthcare and anti-aging and all the technology and things that are coming out, because I do want to live and be healthy to 100. I do want that. So I pay attention to those things. One of the big things now is helping people feel good a week at a time. Well, that's what this world can come up with, and they'll do vitamin B12 shots, and they'll do all kind of intravenous, putting liquids in you and getting you all inflated again, and all kind of things that I guess they're good. You know, I don't know. I'm not doing all those things, but there's something better that happens from the inside when we're willing to be Jesus to somebody else. There's an enrichment that comes. I think if people can feel good about their walk with God, they begin to feel better about their life. I see so many Christians dealing with depression and oppression that I recognize that there is a great need in the body of Christ for real encouragement. See, there's encouragement. You can go in physically and you can bring encouragement by helping get a job done. And that's good when you need it. You can go in and bring encouragement by having a word in due season, the scripture says, and it's a good word and it encourages somebody. Or you can be the one that prays and stands in the gap for somebody and maybe brings them the word and maybe walks through life with somebody for a season, and you bring spiritual encouragement and impartation. Something God's calling us to do is look at where we fit in the picture, and we're going to do some element of all three. Occasionally, I just have to muster up some strength and go knock out something physical, especially when you deal with the aging family members. You're there. You're the obvious one to do it, and you jump up and do it. Sometimes you've got to be the one that shares a bit of information that'll turn somebody's life around. Sometimes you've got to be the one that has a word from heaven or an impartation from heaven or literally the power of God to change a situation. Our church, you as the people, are all of those. Pastors to illustrate, to teach, to demonstrate. But I'm to illustrate, teach, and demonstrate so you will be Jesus that way. That is more the church's job than the pastor's job. There's not enough pastor to go around, honestly. So what does God do in His intelligent mercy? He equips everybody to do the work of the ministry. Now, it's a matter of choice on our part if we want to, but He gives us reason to want to. This is a quality that identifies who true believers are. This is a way Jesus looks at us and says, well, they're not just my acquaintance, but rather He says, they're my friend. There are things that qualify. I hear songs today about everybody being Jesus' friend, and Scripture doesn't teach that. It says that we're going to know we're His friend by doing the things that please Him. That's how we know we're His friend. We know, well, I'm doing what Scripture says. I don't know how else we can know what pleases Him. Now, this is beginning in Mark 8:34. Jesus had called a group of people unto Himself with His disciples. And He said unto them, He's talking to a crowd, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. In other words, if you want to make the most of this life, you're going to let something go. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. In other words, this sounds like cloak and dagger. This sounds like, what in the world is Jesus talking about? He's telling us, if we really want to discover what's going to bring pleasure to us in this life, we're going to lay down part of our life, or we're going to give it up, or we're going to sow it as seed, or we're going to live intentionally for somebody else in blocks and moments and seasons of our day, of our week, of our month, of our lifetime. There are people that I will be associated with for a lifetime, and I will continue to give up what I have unto them. What is it? Mostly spiritual truth. Why, the Holy Spirit told me 35 years ago that my greatest benefit to his kingdom would be to teach everybody the things that he would teach me. So I create an open forum for that. And on Tuesdays, I do a lot of that. But whenever I'm up, I do that. I teach you from what I believe is my greatest wealthy point. I know a lot of the scripture and a lot of the master, and the Holy Spirit is my best friend. So I make no bones about it. That's mostly what I have to offer. But as I was growing and learning those things, I didn't have that to offer. I had encouragement. I had support. I had occasionally a good word from the Lord. I could pray for anybody. My support for people was more on the emotional plane, the intelligent plane. And I don't claim to be uber intelligent, but I can relate to how people feel about things. And I spent a lot of time trying to bring comfort and encouragement. And before I learned those things, I just would insert my physical time and strength to make a difference. Jesus is talking about a church that will be filled with his joy if we do it. And finding our fit, and your fit will change over time. If you're growing and maturing, you're in a dynamic relationship with the Lord Jesus. What you do in ministry will change over time, and that will be between you and the Lord. It's not, pastor can't interject in there and tell you what to do. I can just point out in the scripture what pleases the Lord Jesus, and then you find your fit. And you listen to what he says to do. He says, for what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now this ties into Jesus when he said, depart from me, I never knew you, in that scary scripture I mentioned. So he's saying, if we're not careful, we'll be so busy in this life that we won't get our soul saved the way we thought it was. What? We'll be giving up our thought life to everything else. We'll be giving up our energy to everything else. We'll be giving up our effort to everything else. So he's giving us a word of caution that I believe has great mercy in it. I believe that God gives us a wide swath of variance before he says, time to come back here to center. Time to move. That's the mercy of God. So today, understand my heart is for you to find yourself in the wide swath of God's mercy, but let Jesus do this and bring you closer in to his heart of what he wants from you, because you want the kind of friendship with him where you can receive a divine refreshing overnight because his joy comes into your soul again. That's what the scripture says the joy comes into, my mind, will, and emotions. Now, I've enjoyed an overnight like that. I couldn't have preached this yesterday or the day before that, but I can this morning. Do you know that's how life is for everybody? See, what we're supposed to do, though, is sometimes people don't get that directly from heaven while they're asleep because they haven't learned how. They're going to get it from heaven through you because you've got a little bit of overflow right now, or you just choose to give out of what you do have. Many times ministry will take you to look in the pot that's mostly empty in your life, and somebody will come to you and they'll say, I need encouragement, and you'll think, well, honey, so do I. It's your moment to reach deep into the pot for whatever seed is left in there and sow it into the other person. Scripture says when we do that with God's love, we're going to receive a harvest. And here's the wonderful thing about the faithfulness of God. He knows when your storehouse is getting low. And he knows if you'll sow out of it, he'll cause the season to be accelerated in your life. He'll never make you do without. See, he wants us to know his love more than we know anything else. Many people today are focused on, I want to know God's provision more than anything else. Without knowing his love more than anything else, you will struggle with his provision. Because it's all tied back to his love. Whenever your resources run low, I would consider what it is you're sowing. It isn't just your money. Scripture really says, sow love and a replenishing will come. And that's who our Heavenly Father is. So if you're feeling a little bit blue and a little bit needy and wish you were on a receiving end of something, I'm telling you how to fix that. You move from the need to receive to the ability to give by sowing out of need and letting God fulfill that need. And that's scripture all the way around. Now, Jesus is looking for in this passage a people he can trust to give back into the kingdom, to begin to live a kingdom lifestyle. A kingdom lifestyle is about using your faith to do the work that Jesus assigned to us to do. To have a capacity, to have a bit of time, to have some resources, to have some truth, to have some energy, to muster encouragement. If you have to dig down to the bottom of the dregs of your heart on certain days to encourage somebody, I don't know how, if you know how that works, but if I'm at the dregs of you to call me a few days ago, I'm in the middle of too many messy things with too many people, and you said, Pastor, I just need encouragement, I would have had to dip to the bottom of the barrel for you. And here's the blessing. You wouldn't know I'm dipping at the bottom of the barrel because you can't hear me raking and scraping to get it up because I'm saying, Holy Ghost, you've got this because I don't know. Have you ever been there with people? Yes. Isn't it like people want what you don't have? And you think, what's wrong that they want something I don't have? It's because Jesus is your sufficiency. He loves for us to experience that when somebody calls on us to make a difference. He wants us to experience that he's the one that's got the goods we never did to begin with. We might be the barrel, but he's what fills it. And here's the wonderful thing. When he sends somebody to you and they're asking for something from you, he's the one to supply it. You can call on him and say, look, Heavenly Father, I wish I had more in me right now than I have, but my sufficiency is in you. And I want whatever you bring to help this person in a way that they don't think I had to dig to the bottom of this barrel. I don't know. We had cisterns at the old farmhouse where we started the church years ago. Three of them. And they were deep and they were great. And we also had a well. We came into a dry season in the summer. And usually I used the well to water the flowers and the gardens around the house and that kind of thing. And but we got to where we decided we were overtaxing the well. I got married that year. And Lucinda liked, I don't know, it just seemed like ladies take showers all the time. I mean, like all the time and wash their clothes all the time. And just all of a sudden what a single man's laundry and water was like times 10 when he got married. And I thought, well, we better give the well a rest and we better put cistern water coming through the toilets. And I didn't know at the same time it's coming out of the basement shower. And the cisterns were getting low, and I told Lucinda they're getting low, and she said something. She's town girl. She said, well, let's just put the hose in there and turn on the well and fill them back up again. I said, well, that's not why we're doing this. I had to explain that, and then she understood what it was. But she happened to be the one in the shower in the morning when we got to the bottom of the cistern, and you had to move a lever to switch to the next one, and the bottom of the cistern wasn't real clean. We found out it wasn't really suitable for shower water when it came out in her hair when she was trying to get ready for work one morning. You always want to say, Holy Spirit, don't let me get totally to the bottom of the barrel, because there's usually some stuff in there. That's just an illustration for you to understand how to manage your ability to help people. And sometimes we have to recognize we're getting kind of low. And we have to say, Holy Spirit, fill me again with a capacity to help people. And we're doing that by faith because you may not feel different. You may not think differently when you pray that way. You have to trust by faith. You just got what God is sending. Or when the person turns the tap on to run the shower, that there's going to be clean water come out, not a bunch of... that's the noise it made. I remember hearing the noise upstairs and the pipes rattling, thinking, this cannot be good. I just knew that. I was hearing screaming and crying. And anyway, we contend with trouble to restore certainty in Jesus. That's a mission Jesus put us on. Now, contributions, we can make contributions with our strength, with our mind, with spiritual truth. You know, some physical things. I rolled in here Saturday. I had a mission in town, and I had a mission at church, and I was meeting with George to put him on the mower, and got him kind of set, and drove away on one of my missions and then came back and I saw Jeff Thomas's truck and I knew Jeff was coming to work on burying that cable out there, which is a big job and requires engineering ability and truly brute strength to dig through dry this side of the highway soil with rocks all in it. So I was thankful for everybody working, but I didn't see Jeff. I saw his truck. I'm looking in the trench, and his trench is only 6 inches wide. He couldn't be down in it. So I'm thinking, I don't see George, so I don't see the mower. So I walked around the building. Sure enough, there they were working on things. What was needed? I wanted to get the grass caught up, so George was on that mission, but the mower needed work, and Jeff was on that mission, even though Jeff came to fulfill another mission. And while talking to Jeff, Jeff had a third mission, somebody for Pastor to talk to. See, there's times people are looking for Pastor to impart into them, and Pastor's looking for them to impart into Pastor. Yesterday was one of those kind of conversations. So Jeff, in my mind, hit it out of the park in ministry yesterday because God used him all three ways when he really came to get one job done. But don't you feel like that sometimes in life? You set out on a mission, and this is to affirm something that's right. And he didn't know I was going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about a number of people a little bit today just to touch on a few things. But that was something that he meant to come and fulfill a physical need, and he had intellectual ability to do the wiring. He's certified to do it, so the parking lot won't shock you when you walk across it. He knows what he's doing and how to do it, and I'm glad of that. But he also had a heart to minister compassion yesterday. When you get in one area of ministry, let the Lord stretch you to be versatile with people, because I left more encouraged than I came, and I bet he didn't even know he did that. Did you? No. But he did what? Taking the time to let me talk about things I'm contending with. What did it do? It made me feel like I had somebody else in armor ready to slay the enemy with me. That's what it did. Have you ever had anyone do that for you? It's a valuable thing. And it's the unspoken language, especially between men, where you don't really want to say, I need your help and encouragement, but the other guy recognizes, I need to be used that way right now. And it creates a strong bond of brotherhood. God wants that in his family, see. Sometimes we underestimate ourselves and not recognizing how anointed we are in situations. Now, that was something started out physical, but now some other physical things. All the work going on to get Val in her house. Simply amazing. What is that? Largely a physical activity, but if you get around the guys working, they'll encourage your heart. You'll get some soul food. And if you listen long enough, depending which one's there, somebody's going to pray or somebody's going to have something to say or somebody's going to struggle. Somebody's going to say, well, let's believe God. Why? There's a spiritual component because we're spiritual people. So sometimes physical is needed more, but the spiritual comes trickling in. Why? That's who we are. Can't be helped if you get enough people together. There's going to be God speaking something by the Holy Spirit to help bring everybody up with some supernatural help. I love that when I see it happen. Most of our church projects will do that if you're involved. You'll find yourself giving in one area but receiving in another area. That's the way God likes to do things. Why? Well, he said the body is to build itself up in love. I want to tell you, that's not pastor's job. That can't happen with just pastor and people. It happens when people are getting with people, and I like to be one of the people. But we build one another up in love by choosing to be intervening in somebody's life where there's problems or conflicts or a need, and we're restoring their faith in God, their faith in the family, their ability to be a part. You never feel more loved than when somebody intervenes in your life and you didn't even need to ask. It changes your heart. Now, intellectually, I rely on a lot of people. I don't claim to be the smartest person. I like to bring smart people around me, though. And we started looking at the missions trip, and I asked Greg and Brandy to lead in that. Why? I spend time with them. They're smart people. I say it this way, when I'm not in their company or they're not around, smart cookies. That's what, I like smart cookies around me. You know how your computer gets cookies on it from where it goes? I like smart cookies, so I intentionally like to ask smart people questions and get cookies from them. Why? It helps me. Why? I need more of that in my diet. Why, it's not my focus anymore. you know, I got educated to a certain level. Now my focus really, my whole life focus is spiritual things. I try to take care of myself. I try to challenge my mind enough that everything works and my body works, but I'm out for spiritual things now. That's what I want the rest of my life to be about. But when I asked them to be in charge trip, I had no idea how complicated it was going to get. I did see some things in my heart that God wanted to do that the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And when God gives you people and you team up with people, he takes everybody's strength and he brings it together to do a piece of ministry. So what am I doing? I'm trusting all their smarts to figure everything out. And I'm just saying, I believe this is how God wants to use me. And Pastor Guillermo needs to be in charge in Guatemala. And the basics that were in my heart, I handed him. You know what? I don't worry about what's going to happen in that piece of ministry. I'm more excited about now than I ever have been before. Why? Smart cookies are taking care of it. And they feed me cookies. Here's what's happened next. Be that for somebody. See, there's times I can be that for somebody also, but not as often as it used to be. It used to be God used me more that way. Now I'm not really so much to bring out practical things as I am to look at spiritual things. Well, I want people to get supernatural help. I want to prove to the earth my God is real and Jesus rose from the dead and he hadn't stopped doing things. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So together we make this composite that makes for God's power to flow through his people and everybody to get affirmed. And something I've learned about people with smart cookies, they like to use them. Why, it affirms their value in the kingdom. So forgive me for just using you as an example without asking your permission, but it's good. Greg's nodding a little. Brandy's nodding a lot. So I got that works. And I know names are going out on Facebook today. I can't help it. Why? I'm bragging on good things. I'm bragging on things that make a difference and show you how all the puzzle pieces fit together. Why? There are a lot of people going to go on that trip to make a difference at all different pieces of ministry. But pastor could not possibly have the time or energy or language skills or cultural whereabouts or just savvy to figure all that out without having to like halt the rest of my life. Well, that's just not my gift. But I recognize that it's somebody else's gift. When I go in the meetings, I see all of these abilities coming up. And you know, I heard Brandy say something in one of the first meetings. If you feel like in your heart you're supposed to go, God's got a place for you and we'll figure out where you fit. That's the body of Christ. If he puts it in your heart to be a part, then he's got a place for you to fit. And it's our job together to find out what is the fit, to help everybody fit. Not just in one place, but in as many places as we want to or can. So there's also the emotional piece of ministry. In my life now, I mostly rely on my wife. Lucinda and I are each other's emotional support more than any other source. Why? We really don't share that much of our emotion. Why? I guess part of it's pastors aren't supposed to have any. You know, everybody thinks they're all everything's perfect. So I've just gone with that for a long time and just thought, well, I just won't share much of that. Now, that's not always the case. There are a few people I share emotional things. Well, I mean, right now in my life, we're overtaxed emotionally. You know, we have three ailing parents. And they need help. They need attention. And sometimes only the kids can do that. If you've ever helped a parent through a crisis, you know, just they really want their kids there for certain pieces and not other people. And, you know, it's hard. My dad just in the hospital right now, but I went down there to encourage him and talk to him. And the first thing he said is, get me out of here. Well, Dad, what do you mean? Get me out of this bed. I said, well, what do you, I need the bathroom. Well, I didn't know the nurses had the alarms on the bed, and, you know, Dad's insistent. And he said, just get a hold of me and pull me up out of here. I'm going in there. He said, I don't want those nurses coming in. He's just kind of like a man thing. He just anybody thing, privacy thing. So what I do, I go there and pull him out of the bed, and the alarms are going off, and the nurses come running in. I said, he needs the bathroom. Well, that's why we're here. Do you not understand the alarm? I said, I do understand. He was insistent. He said, Mr. Lee, you calm down and call the nurse. Mr. Lee, you know better to me. But what do we do? We're trying to meet a need as best we can, but sometimes we're underqualified or overqualified. There's other people to do the job, but I share that because there's great emotion in experiencing loss with someone else. I will tell you, most people in the body of Christ are coping with some kind of loss. In the household of faith, it's not been talked about enough, because everybody wants to always overcome everything, but understand that the only way you overcome things in the end is by Jesus' sacrifice. You'll overcome death by living forever in a spiritual sense, but you're going to die once. Scripture says so. So there's a leading up to that point physically and emotionally and even spiritually people aren't ready for. And they need help walking through what faith looks like in a season where there's some obvious loss. It's called compassion. It's called love. It's called serving and making a difference. It's what people who are good in the medical field all know and practice. I believe there are people in medicine called to do it because they understand loss, they understand comfort, they understand healing, they understand well-being. We want to understand that as a body. And I share that admitting the older I get, the more I recognize I did not understand those things. Now I'm coming to understand those things and how to speak love and faith into loss. Why do I share that? Somebody next to you has experienced some kind of loss that maybe hasn't been reconciled, or they're afraid of one coming, or they're helping somebody through one that's happening. And it brings out a part of Jesus' person that we don't experience without recognizing. He went to the cross to bear loss so it would affect us differently. He didn't stop us from having loss. Why, we're in a fallen world with the devil that's come to steal physical ability and mental sharpness over time, to steal energy, to steal whatever the things that we maybe take for granted that somebody else doesn't have. I looked at my dad. He's always been the strongest physical specimen of a man I ever knew. He's lost 35 pounds in 2 weeks, and he still looks stout as an ox. But he couldn't get himself up out of that bed. And I thought to myself, what can he be feeling right now that I need to put into words and actions of compassion? It was a reality check for me to understand what the person needs most there isn't my first expression of faith or even my prayer. They needed that when he wanted that, requested that. But he literally needed just a hand to help him get out of the bed, to feel like he had hope to do it again. Now, I was there day before yesterday. He's getting out of bed fine. They still had the alarms on, so he wouldn't do it by himself. But he tried. He said, I can sit to the edge of the bed and scoot right up before it'll go off. So, well, why are you doing that? Because I'm going to do everything I can do to get out of this bed. I really don't need their help. They just think I do. And the nurse heard that, and she went, like that. Like, do not get that in your head. Why? People need more than they think, but you want to help them cross a line that they're recovering, you see. That's the mercy of Jesus. You can expect to be challenged in this. This is John 13. Jesus giving a commandment. You're gonna be challenged. I want to talk about one more thing first, the spiritual peace. There are not a lot of people in my life bring spiritual things to me that build me up. That's mostly what I focus on. But there are some in the church on occasion do that God just uses them. One such person is Kurt Schoaf. Kurt will every so often bring something to me that I know he means to encourage me, but it'll have a depth to it that I know the Holy Spirit gave it to him. So I'm thankful for that quality in people. And you know, you'll have some people like that. Sometimes people think, well, the pastor, he knows all the answers. No, he doesn't. He's digging for them all the time. But it's just sometimes you know the truth, but it sets you free when somebody else says it to you. Or you can know it, but suddenly when somebody else says it, with Kurt, it's like this. It's always mixed with faith. He likes eye contact. He likes to also physically touch you when he's imparting something. And it has an impact. See, I don't know if he knew the depth of that, but I'm telling him, where is he? I saw him earlier. Pointing back somewhere, out in the hallway. You're going to tell him, right? He was in the sermon today. Spiritual, what do we all have pieces of this. Now, I talked about it being challenged. This is John 13, Jesus giving us a commandment to love one another. He said, do it the way that I've loved you, and I want you to love one another. And Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow you now? Jesus was talking about going to heaven, and Peter was didn't understand it, wanted to go to the kingdom. So, you know, Peter's interrupting, but Jesus, Peter said, I'll lay down my life for your sake. He's telling Jesus he's going to lay down his life, and he knew Jesus wanted to hear that. Well, I believe he was around in Mark 8, and he heard Jesus preaching on that. So he's thinking, I know the ticket with Jesus. I'll be his friend if I lay down my life, so I'm going to tell him I'm going to lay down my life, and I'll be enough of a friend I can go to the kingdom with him right now. See, Peter had kind of a mixed motive. He had it mostly right, though. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? It's the question of our generation. It's the question of any believer. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you that the cock will not crow until you've denied me three times. Interesting that Peter, in a zenith moment, wanted to be so close with Jesus he could go see the kingdom. They thought they were going to, he was going to go suddenly come into a country that Jesus had somewhere of a spiritual nature. And Peter's gunning for that, quite honestly, wanting to go. He said, I'm willing to give up my life for that. Why? He saw something in the master that made him surrender his life and want to surrender his life. But then Jesus said, there's going to be three times before morning you could lay down your life, but you will deny me instead. Peter received a lot of revelation from the Lord, so his name, he was renamed the Rock because of all the revelation that he received. And this is one of the key ones. One of the key revelations for Peter happened when he denied laying down his life three times for Jesus. So it wasn't long after that Peter learned what it meant to lay down his life. You will not know what it is to lay down your life until you've missed an opportunity or two or three. You will recognize that the enemy is who stopped you. You will recognize you're responsible for putting the enemy in check by saying, no, this person is more important than my agenda. What I'm knowing in my heart right now that I need to do for this person is more important than what I had planned for me in this moment. And you'll learn to recognize the difference. You will always, here's a hallmark, you will always be challenged when you see God's agenda by your own agenda. You say, well, some of us are not that structured, Pastor. It's not a matter of structure. It's a matter of you have an enemy trying to dissuade you from being Jesus. And he will do that mostly by having us be too busy with other things. Peter denied Jesus three times, and the great revelation in this is Peter recognized there is a devil trying to prevent me from being like Jesus. You want to recognize the same thing today? Don't beat yourself up for missed opportunity. Kick the enemy down a peg or two and say, oh no, I recognize he's behind my wrong thinking. I understand this world will brainwash you to take care of you first, to take on a survival mentality, to take on a battle warrior mentality where you've got to fight for you and fight for your family and everybody else can go to hell in a handbasket attitude. But we can't be that way. Jesus fights our battles when we are fighting his. And that's scripture. And his battles are not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Now, the enemy presented three challenges overnight. I made a declaration a while ago, and I'm talking about Guatemala a little bit this morning because we have to, times of the essence, but it's a perfect way for me to illustrate some things. I hesitated at first saying pastor's going or not while I was listening for what are we doing on the trip, and can pastor be utilized in a spiritual sense, because my life's mostly about that now. I'm not a carpenter, I never was. I don't have the strength and ability in my back physically to do a lot of the physical kind of work. I'm not an emotionally led person. I'm not real good in emotional situations. If everybody's crying, I get stopped up too and get upset. But what I am is spiritually strong. So I listen to what's going on with something like that. And so a few weeks in, I made the declaration. I felt on the inside, I'm supposed to go. Recognizing Lucinda probably can't. She's at home with her mom, taking care of her mom. We have to have a new normal in our life. Recognizing that my parents are ailing, recognizing we've got people in the hospital, people on hospice, all kind of things that could change and go on. But I recognize Holy Spirit compelling me to go. Now, in compelling me to go, since then, there's been a constant barrage against any opportunity I have to prepare for that trip. I have to prepare spiritually. I have to be carrying the wealth of what God has for Guatemala in my spirit. That's my job. I have to get a hold of it in advance. I've got to hear from heaven on some things. I've got to be able to go in carrying an anointing. This is a responsibility that I've learned that I actually enjoy, but it takes time to get one in a state of doing that. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit literally puts something in our spiritual money bag to give people. You remember that Paul and Silas, when they're going into the city, met the man that needed help, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk." That's the kind of thing that God puts in your money bag in advance, and I want to be carrying the wealth of the kingdom. But ever since I made the declaration, I will go, all hell is broken loose in every arena possible, and the pastors there knowingly said right away, get everybody praying because all hell will break loose against anybody wanting to go. He's right. He knew that. But we're dealing with principalities and powers. So I recognize in going to get the spiritual peace, I'm relying on everybody else to bring other pieces in and do other pieces. And I am grateful. Why? It's not that I have the end all, but for me to be able to bring a piece of anything supernatural, it takes a whole lot of doing. It takes a whole lot of partnership. It takes a whole lot of praying. And what I know is if I pray successfully, God will use everybody in the team in the supernatural. I'm believing God for that. What is that? Supernatural proof of Jesus being real and alive and contending with the works of darkness to restore faith in his name. So that when we leave that nation, we will have empowered and strengthened the local churches and cause people to come into the kingdom. Well, I see in my heart to be a part of that as it is everybody going. But there's a barrage sometimes. Be prepared when you go to step out to serve the Lord that there will be an enemy work against you. Just be determined that he can't win, and you tell him he can't and he won't. You tell him in Jesus' name. Why? Jesus' name carries the victory for you, same as it does for me. Jesus wants us to carry his joy, and I want to end on this note. This is John 15. Jesus has just taught on the vine and the branches, and it's scary because he talks about abiding in him, or we got chopped off, the branches get chopped off and burned in the fire. Well, that's another one of those same scary things. Do what I want you to do, or you're going to have problems. Really problems. Being a branch thrown into the fire, I've done that. They crack and pop, and they're gone. Don't want to be that. You can say amen right there. When I pause, that's your opportunity to tell me you understand. So here's what we're looking for. He gets done with that story and he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, it's all John 15 is all about abiding in the vine and bearing fruit. Then he tells us how to do it. We'll do his commandments. We'll do the things that please him, and we'll be abiding in him. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love, these things have I spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Not a human joy, not a trumped up joy, not the satisfaction that we did a good thing, but his joy that we pleased him. Did you know you can always know when you're pleasing Jesus through the things you do for other people? That's the main way you're going to know what your relationship is with him. We just saw that looking here in Mark 8 and John 13. When we do the things that please Jesus, he expresses his pleasure to us by putting his joy in us. We feel what he's feeling. You can't live without that and enjoy your Christian walk. There's nothing like it in the world. To know that you have just made a difference, whether it's practical and physical, or it's just you had a bright idea or a problem-solving skill or helped somebody fix something that was wrong, or you made the phone call to encourage somebody and you didn't even know they were down, but they told you in the process, you don't know how much I needed this phone call today. And you get done with that and something happens to you, you get this overwhelming sense of pleasure on the inside. Of knowing, what is it? That's Jesus expressing his love and thanks to you, and it builds you up. And I've learned if I'm down, the best thing I can do is find somebody else that's down and bring them up, even if I'm digging down to the bottom of the barrel to do it. I get to the bottom of the barrel. Why? My barrel starts filling back up. Why? His joy will fill your barrel. His joy will change your attitude. His joy will stir faith in you, not just in the other person. But he says not just that his joy would be in us, but that your joy might be full. Your natural human joy will be filled up at the same time he puts his joy in you. You'll just feel different. So how does that work? It usually works through a person ministering to a person, because it's Jesus through a person. You have to be willing. Here's how you feel better about your walk with God. Here's how you feel more a part of your family. Here's how you live fellowship in the things of God. You become that for somebody else, even when you don't seem to be experiencing for you. You reach out, you sow that seed, you sow what it is you need, and then you learn to sow beyond your need. You learn to recognize, wow, I seem to get down too often. I need to sow a lot of encouragement. And what happens, you become the encourager, it will draw encouragers to you. God will see to it. See, what you sow, he promises you'll reap because you're in the earth. And he's first talking about spiritual things, not natural things. So when we sow love the right way, it starts to change everything in the natural. Why? People will be drawn to you. Opportunity will be drawn to you. This earth was made and everything in it to respond first to the love of God by the words that God speaks when he's walking in love with us. And what happens is all creation groans to line up with the love of God again. So when you start operating in this kind of love for other people, it causes not just people to be drawn to you because they enjoy that, but God brings people as a resource for you to empower. God brings opportunity to you to make your life more anointed. He will give you a business instead of you working for a business. He'll give you one. Why? He can trust you to be his love for people. I want to tell you the greatest thing to change your attributes or the way you live in this life is to be first a lover of people the way Jesus said he wanted it done. We're not loving people just because we're good people. No, we're representing Jesus and we let people know it's because he changed me. I want to do this and I enjoy doing this. Or Jesus compelled me to call you today. Don't just make the phone call and just say, well, I had you on my heart. I say, no, Jesus put you on my heart, so I'm calling you. See, that's a little bit higher. That lifts his name a little bit higher. He gets all the glory out of that instead of you getting a little bit of it. See, it's nice to be a good person, but it does not count with Jesus. It counts to be Jesus' good person. Surrendered to him, giving him the glory. That's what makes us his friend. Not being good and doing good, but being good and doing good in his name. Now, we're about done. He says that my joy might remain in you, your joy might be full. I want to share another little ministry thing this week. Bud Kurtz has been back in the hospital. Many of you know that. Those of you that know him know he's been struggling with cancer for 3 years now. He's had several heart attacks, and he will say out of his mouth that he's punched his ticket for heaven. He's ready to go. He wants to go. And, you know, I try to help people get in faith for healing, but just sometimes things don't go that way, and people are experiencing a loss. So I felt compelled. I knew he'd gone back to the hospital. I felt compelled to go. This was Wednesday. You didn't see me in Wednesday church. I'd already made arrangements with Pastor Paul to be in the pulpit because I knew I needed the time for some other things. One thing, I was going to look ahead to Guatemala. I was going to look ahead to some things. And well, none of that happened. Why? Something was happening to a person. Well, a person trumps my plan for anything else. Has to. That's just how we're supposed to live. So I felt compelled. I just need to get down there and spend time with him. And I knew family was going to leave at a certain time and he'd be alone. And I want that alone time with a man that is personally connected to Pastor in a great way, prays for us literally every day. Another one that would call us and say, the Holy Spirit puts you on my heart and I'm praying this way. And I think, boy, that's right. And I tell him that's right. And you say, well, how could that be? Is somebody that wanted to be used of God that way and wanted to be a help to Pastor in that way. So I went zipping down there, walked into his room, looked like he was asleep. I crossed the threshold of the door, and his eyes popped wide open. I knew you would come. I said, how'd you know? Holy Spirit told me. He told you to. I said, well, you're right about that. And he said, we get alone time. He said, Pastor, just come. We had 2 hours of alone time. Now, that's amazing. At the hospital, you don't stay more than 15 or 20 minutes because people get tired. Kept saying, well, buddy, he said, no, stay. He said, I've been trusting God for this moment with my pastor. And we just shared back and forth. And I found a compassion rising up out of me that I knew this was the person of Jesus ministering what the person of Bud needed. And I recognized to not be in a hurry, to not cut it short, to answer questions. Why, this man's getting ready to fly with the angels. He wanted to talk about that. He wanted to talk about life for his family when he goes, and can he still pray for him in heaven? And the things he didn't ask me that I knew he wanted to know, I brought up anyway. Concerned about Aletha being here by herself. Well, every husband and wife go through wondering what's going to happen to the one that's here longer. Because we're people of faith, we know heaven's a better place. We know it's going to be wonderful. But we're concerned about somebody doing the rest of their life alone when we've been doing life together. So you walk in a situation like that and say, Holy Spirit, help me feel what this guy's feeling. But help me present what'll help him that's coming from you. Help me not just relate as a person. Let me be Jesus in this situation. We had 2 hours of tearful, meaningful, tender, sad, happy. The whole range of human emotion experienced by both of us, I think. I don't think there's anything left out. But the joy of the Lord came. Not just in me, in him. We prayed. I went away. When I was going away, I said, no, Pastor, they're telling me it could just be any time. If this is our last visit, he said, been the best one of my life. Thank you. And I thought, Jesus, only you know how to do that for somebody. Because I don't know everything a person feels or thinks. I wish I could, but I've learned something. When you choose to be God's person, Jesus lets you feel what you need to feel to make him real to the other person. Many of you are involved in care and caregiving. Do as much of it as you can because it ministers Jesus. It stirs hope. I was able, with the Holy Spirit's help, to leave some things in Bud's heart to share with Aletha to reassure her, he being her husband, where it wouldn't be the same for Pastor to say. Her husband needs to say it. We had a great talk about things like that. I don't want that time to come for you, but it will. And you want to be that person for somebody else as many times as you can in whatever the situation. You say, well, that was pastoral. No, that was just a brother needing a brother to take the time to listen and answer a few questions, and beyond answering questions, offer reassurance, offer love, and be an encourager. I wanted to share that. Jesus then said, this is my commandment. He reiterated again that you love one another as I have loved you. And I want to say this about that situation. Pastor Paul, in taking the pulpit before I knew I needed to go, enabled me to be able to go and spend all that time exactly during church hour. I'm marvelously thankful for that. And things like that that people do around here. Back in there somewhere probably, so I'm looking where he's at. When everybody does what God's equipped him to do, Jesus can do a lot more, see. That's why I'm sharing things that are kind of personal. It's kind of reaching into other people's pockets this morning, but you can't do ministry without being intertwined with people this way. So I'm encouraging you what living for Jesus looks like. We're learning about winning the lost, but Jesus said to be his friend, we're going to do this within the body. I know a lot of people think, well, I've got to love everybody outside the church. Well, you're supposed to predominantly love the people in the church. That's what Jesus taught. Focus there first, and then when you run out of people to help at church, go to the outside. Why? Jesus takes care of his family first. So I'd never heard that before. Read your New Testament. You'll see Jesus doing that. In fact, he went so far as to say his family was you and me, and he denied his earthly family. He didn't go to them first. He took care of his church folks first. Now, to finish this up, he said, greater love has no man than this. In other words, this is it. This is how we become Jesus' friend, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So I've got lost friends. Well, then go get them saved by laying down your life. But he's telling us that he'll be his friend, we'll be his friend if we lay down our life for our friends. So he's telling us what friendship is about. It's not word, it's deed. and the doing. Now, you are my friends if, and the if is really there, if you study the original text, if you do whatsoever I command you. So this is the work of ministry. We contend with trouble with people, but we restore certainty. Today, maybe you came for an impartation and you need help in that. You can come to the altar this morning and we will have people pray with you this morning. If you're in a spot and you need help and you need to be the receiver of something like that, but I'm going to tell you, you're more anointed to be a giver than you are a receiver. I'm going to tell you how you multiply your ability to receive from God is you give out of what it is you need to receive. It's sowing the seed. So if you feel kind of alone, you feel kind of discouraged, you're dealing with depression, we'll pray for you. I'm happy to. I'm on an overflow mode today where I know that there is a tangible anointing on my life to preach what I'm preaching and for God to deliver it to you. But your greatest thing to do is rise up for somebody else. I'm going to tell you a key to somebody else. You can't go by what you see. You can't go by what you hear. You're not going to know who has need of you unless you ask the Holy Spirit. There might be some things that you can see on your own, but some people live needy because they just always want somebody else to take care of their needs. Others are more a source of supply for others, and when their barrels are empty, you're not going to know it unless the Holy Spirit tell you. And I tell you that why I tell you that from the voice of experience. You will not know that about me, most likely. Very few people will ever know when pastor has a need like that. Why? I want to receive it from heaven. I don't want people to feel like they got to do something or people to incur. But when the Holy Spirit does it, wow. Aren't we all kind of like that? I mean, we think we ought to be self-sufficient. Understand, in the body of Christ, there's nobody self-sufficient. Scripture says our sufficiency is in Christ. That means the anointing and the anointed ones. God's sufficiency for people is in you. I want you to stand. I want to pray for you. I want this to settle into your heart. And again today, if you find yourself on the end of this, that you just need to receive some restoration and encouragement, you come to the altar. We'll never deny you. But today I've given you a scriptural key. One of the great truths of the New Testament is if you want to receive from God, sow where you have a need. If you're beyond need, sow in what pleases the Lord Jesus into other people's lives. And I'm not talking about finances. In fact, finances are not even in the secondary list in the scripture, really. Love is first. And love takes on all the nature of the Heavenly Father. It's what motivates us to do things for the kingdom. It's what motivates people to go on the trip we're going on. It's what motivates people to teach Sunday school. It's what motivates people to want to be more a soul winner. It's what motivates us to sit while pastor talks for an hour, and he could have said it one time easy in 20 minutes and let everybody go, but if he says it three times in an hour, everybody will get it better. But by now, your legs might be a little sore and your bottom a little achy and your tummy a little hungry. But I'm going to tell you something. Your spirit just got a double dose because it's who Jesus is and who he made us to be, and there's nothing more fulfilling than his joy coming into our heart because we're a part of what he's doing. Heavenly Father, thank you for a church passionately loving you. Father, we're growing in our love for one another and to learn how to do that. We're cutting against the grain of the culture of this world to be self-focused, and we're going to be others-focused. Father, we're going to look within the household of faith, within the family of faith, within our own house, and be a blessing, be a help, be an encouragement, be a doer of these things we've heard from your word. Jesus, we want you to look on us and say, that group at Living Word are all my friends. Father, I want that for our church to walk in that, a kind of joy that is unspeakable. We can't put it into words. It's so great and full of glory because we're giving you all the glory. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you that as we learn these truths, your anointing will grow, but it's first going to grow in the outflow to others. Then it will grow incoming into our lives. Father, we'll do it your way. We'll sow, and then indeed we can reap. So, Father, thank you, everybody here. As sower, you said you give seed to the sower. So right now I ask for multiple opportunities, even this week, to sow your love into the lives of people, Father, that this body become well-loved, that this body be building itself up in your love, building one another up in your love, that this become the most encouraging place for people to be that they could ever be, because we will walk in what you ask for, and you said it pleases you, Jesus, and we're about pleasing you here. So, Father, thank you for your power and your anointing on this place, on every person here today, Father, to have a breakthrough, to break out of the norm, to have success, to see your glory manifest in our lives, that we know we're walking every day to please you, and we'll feel good about it, not part of the time, not some of the time, but all the time, Lord Jesus. Let us be overwhelmed with your pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.